It's a great season for a hike. We're not roasting yet, and there's even still snow in some of the highest elevations. And we have a new guide to hikes on the Pacific Crest Trail in Northern California available. Philip Kramer, a professional photographer and avid hiker, is the author and photographer of Hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, Northern California, section hiking from Tuolumne Meadows to Donnamore Pass. The views are stunning. The details are very helpful. Here's Philip Kramer in the studio with me. Thanks for joining us today on The Exchange.
Thank you very much for having me.
I want to point out, this is not a book about hiking the whole darn thing, but you did that.
I did do that. Yep. 2013. I thru-hiked the whole thing.
How long did it take?
I was slow, so it took me 6 months.
And were you very familiar with the trail before that?
I had crisscrossed it up in Washington where I live, but I had not gone out on any sort of prolonged trip up until that point. I sort of dived in.
Mm-hmm. How long did you end up gazing at Mount Shasta? How much was it present during the Northern California portion of the trip?
Well, that's an interesting question, because on my thru hike, I saw it literally once because of fires. So 2013, I had a lot of smoke. Coming back to research for the book, I was sort of shocked in a very pleasant way that you do see Mount Shasta for hundreds and hundreds of miles.
So this book is one in a series, and I should point out the other books in this series are about Washington and Oregon and Southern California. So you're from Washington. How did you end up getting the Northern California portion?
That was the last one left.
Uh-huh.
Yep. That was the last one. They had authors who were excited about the other three, and this was my opportunity. So
It's an insignificant portion. There's 740 miles represented in this book.
It's
is that
a
right?
big portion, yeah.
Uh-huh. So there is, just historically, there is, I understand from reading your book, a father of the Pacific Crest Trail, but some argument about who else had about the same idea at about the same time.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I think there was probably a mix of people all thinking about it. And, you know, as with a lot of the origin stories of these, one person's name ends up being the one that's used all the time.
And who is that?
I actually can't remember the name.
Sorry. I wasn't trying to play stumpy.
No, that's okay. That's okay. Right, I should know it.
So talk about the trail itself, because now that you've seen the whole thing from Mexico to Canada, I mean, how different can it be from place to place? And for that matter, even over the course of a day, for example.
Sure, very different. Even just within Northern California, you have a huge change going from the Sierra Range to the Cascade Range, you know, granite to volcanics. Doing the whole thing is even more exaggerated. You start out in the desert, you're hiking through cactus, there are rattlesnakes. And it gets, you know, when you're reaching Canada, you're going through moss tunnels in the North Cascades. So it is a huge range of landscape.
Were you glad to not be the person to do the book about Southern California?
You know, I actually loved Southern California. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether it was because it was just so different from what I was used to. But part of Southern California hiking is you get up early and you hike in the cool of the morning and then you hike in the cool of the evening. And I loved having a siesta in the middle of the day.
Oh, well, that would be a long one too, wouldn't it?
Yep.
And did you actually use it for that sleeping time?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that's a curious thing, though, because we keep talking about the hiker's midnight is basically when the sun goes down.
Mm-hmm.
So were you kind of doing a split sleeping shift there?
Yeah, I would say so. I was getting up around 4:35 in the morning down in the hottest parts of the desert, and then I would probably stop around 10:30, 11, depending on how many miles I'd gotten, and I would just snooze and sort of nap for 4 or 5 hours and then get up and start walking again and go to bed late.
Philip Kramer's book is Hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, Northern California, section hiking from Tuolumne Meadows to Donnamore Pass. You can join the conversation on The Exchange, ask some questions about features of the Pacific Crest Trail in Northern California, or share stories about your own experiences there. We'd like to hear those too. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. Are all the pictures in the book yours?
They are all mine, except for a few photos that friends and family have snapped of me out there that made it in the book. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So, you must have a lot of pictures to go through.
Yes. Several thousand. Yep. Yep.
Wow. So there is a section on maps and apps in the front of the book, which raises the question about the existence of this book. I mean, at a time when there are lots of things available on mobile devices, was there some discussion about whether or not to even put a guidebook out?
I think that's definitely a part of the discussion these days with guidebooks. We definitely, as you can feel the weight of the book in your hand. We did not intend for this to go out on the trail with people. It's a resource for planning at home. And then there is an ebook version, which you could have on your Kindle or your iPad. And some people do carry those out there. But certainly a lot of people just have their phones and they have an app.
Well, and a friend mentioned, too, that you know, you could just take a picture of the page you want to go with.
Exactly.
That.
Yep.
That helps. So there's a good question you ask in here about south to north or north to south.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder, have you done the Northern California section in both directions?
You know, I have done tiny portions of it in both directions, but not the whole thing. I would say 90% of what I've done has been south to north.
And how different can the experiences be? Based on which way you're facing most of the way.
In some places, extremely different, especially if you have an extreme aversion to either going uphill or downhill. There are some places where if you decide to do a section going south, you can have a very big decline instead of a very big incline. And if that's better for you, then do it that way.
There are some cautionary tales and pictures in the book. And in fact, before anybody decides to grab the book and head right out to the trail today, there is a picture of you getting stuck in snow in May in the Scott Mountains. What happened that day?
Yeah, that was a pretty exciting 24-hour period. The day before, we were in shorts and short-sleeve shirts, and it was 70-something degrees. It was all, you know, we were all blissed out in May. And overnight, the temperature dropped about 45 degrees, I think. And we woke up in about 4 inches of snow, put on every single clothing item we had, and hustled out and basically just kept moving to stay warm.
All right, so that raises the question of how prepared you're going to be in any season. I mean, I suppose it was probably a remote chance it would have snowed at that point in the year, but still a chance. And so did you bring enough stuff to really be prepared for that?
Yeah, I think, you know, we wouldn't have been very comfortable if we'd had to spend several days out there in conditions like that. But we were prepared enough that we could walk and find a better place. We were actually, when the storm hit, we were up high on a ridge. And so we went low and found the trees and cover and a little bit more warmth.
All right, so water, food, good foot gear would probably be the top three things you want to have with you on any hike. What else do you have to have with you?
You need some shelter. There are people who go with extremely minimal shelters. You need some shelter. If a storm hits you and you don't have some place that you can get out of it, that's bad news. You want to have something to keep you warm at night, a sleeping bag, sleeping quilt. Insulation and weather protection are key.
That would be the minimum, a sleeping bag?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep.
All right, so you talk about that. You really take the principle of leave no trace here, which I believe is pretty self-explanatory.
Yep.
There's just no evidence that you were there. You know, the question comes like, okay, so how do you go to the bathroom if there isn't one around? But you answer that too in the book.
Sure, you got to. It's you know, we all need that information. Certainly on a trail like the PCT, there are a lot of people using it, and there's the potential for places to get damaged and be rather unsightly. And I've seen some of that, unfortunately. So it's very important that people adhere to the leave no trace principles of burying your waste in appropriate places, carrying out where you need to carry it out, and basically just you don't want anything left that the next hiker is going to come by and go, oh, I see there's someone enjoyed a Snickers bar here, or you know, whatever.
Well, that tends to happen in places a little less remote than the Pacific Crest Trail, though, where if somebody chucks down a candy bar wrapper, another person's going to figure, oh, this is okay. This must be the place to leave your trash. And I wonder then if that has happened along the PCT as well, where somebody said, I don't need to carry this with me, and dropped it, and everybody else began to do that too.
Absolutely. I think there can be a kind of a group think that can happen. If people see something that's happening regularly, then they're going to feel more comfortable doing that themselves.
In terms of the quality for accommodations, and of course you really have to make your own bed and lie in it out there in the Pacific Crest Trail. What kinds of things do you look for in setting up a place to stay for the night?
My favorite is having a view. That is, you know, I'm out there for that experience of nature. I want a view. It's nice after a long day of hard work, which hiking can be, to just be able to relax in camp and have something really gorgeous to look at. I also want water to be nearby. Needing to, you know, hike to your water source from your campsite can be a little bit of a pain after that long, hot day.
Now, what about the ground itself? What kind of place do you look for to pitch a tent for the night?
Flatter the better. If there's something that has some nice buildup of pine needles, that can be a nice little soft cushion, but those can also be sharp, so they can pop your air mattress, which I have had experience with.
Really? Yep. Oh, no, really?
Yep.
They just start going in the middle of the night,
yeah,
or something?
Yeah, I think it was a ponderosa pine, and nice and sharp and long, and just popped my air mattress.
Oh, man. So, how good a night's sleep was that?
That was a rough one.
Did you have a patch kit with you?
I did, yep. So the next day I fixed it, but
Yeah. All right. So for a guy like you, was this part of your through hike, by the way?
This was actually on the book research trips.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how much weight are you carrying in a backpack when you go out on these hikes?
Well, for the through hike, I tried to keep everything between 30 and 35 pounds. Mm-hmm. And with the book, that was a little more difficult to do because I was carrying all my camera gear, which was probably almost 10 pounds worth of gear with tripod lenses, etc. So I was probably up closer to 45 pounds.
All right, so you're shooting with single lens reflex, the whole deal,
yep.
all that stuff.
Yeah, okay. Big, huge camera.
Philip Kramer is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. His book is Hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, Northern California, section hiking from Tuolumne Meadows to Donnamore Pass. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange if you have questions for Philip or stories to share about the PCT yourself. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Philip will be at Northtown Books in Arcata tonight at 7 p.m. We mentioned that he was going to be at Northtown. You're the second person in this hour to talk about being at Northtown Books.
All right. Must be a good spot.
It is. So let's talk about the sections of the trail that you you visit, because you give us the whole thing, and it's in little if you're going to do it in 7 days, if you're going to do it in 4 days, that sort of thing. You give us lots of options in here. And I wonder, of the places that you saw in Northern California, again, we're talking from down near Yosemite, Tuolumne Meadows, all the way up to the Oregon state line, was there one place that just grew on you more and more over time? One place that really sticks out?
Yeah, the Marble Mountain Wilderness. Mm-hmm. Every time I have been back there, that just continues to be this sort of magical spot for me. And I still can't really put a finger on it. I think it's not a well-known wilderness outside of this area. And it's beautiful, and it's a unique place with minimal crowds.
And yet, you know, it's just one of many places with some stunning visuals, some fairly, you know, scraggy-looking segments, too, where you're mm-hmm. going to be hard-pressed to find water. I've heard about Hat Creek Rim before.
Yes, yep.
That's one. But that's a south end, though. There's a Grand Canyon of the Tuolumne River. Who knew?
There is, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And that's, you know, there's a lot of history down in that area, dating back to John Muir and, you know, a lot of fight for not damming up areas, and it's a stunning terrain down there. The High Sierras, they are their own very, very special place.
So for the purposes of photography, did you have to go back to try to get a lot of these places in the good morning and evening light? I know that that's something photographers always like to get, because, you know, let's face it, the midday stuff is just, you know.
Yep, it can be. Yeah, I definitely, where I could, I got everything I needed as I was hiking, but in some instances I went back and just did specifically a photo trip where I didn't have most of the gear, and I would go out for really long days, starting very early and staying out late.
Wow. Okay. Grab the headphones. We have a call for you.
All right.
Let's take this in from John in Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Philip Kramer.
I had a comment and a question. The early morning and late evening thing, as I understand what great pictures it makes, but most of the time that you're walking, it's going to be the middle of the day, and sometimes I feel like I'm being manipulated by always having those morning and evening pictures. But my question, or my comment really, was more that if you camp away from water, just bring your 2 quarts of water a quarter mile or a half a mile from the stream, you'll have a lot less impact, because everybody wants to camp next to water, and you'll be in a place that nobody else has been. So I just the thought of, well, how big of a thing do you carry for water so that you could camp away from water?
Okay. All right. Thanks, John. Appreciate that.
That's a great comment. So oftentimes I carry a collapsible reservoir, and that allows me to stop at the water source, fill up, and then I can go up to a high ridge or something with a great view that's not next to the stream or the lake, and you are away from everyone and you have wonderful views. So yes, you're absolutely right.
What kind of food do you bring for your trips, and is water involved, for example, in the preparation?
Absolutely, yeah. I need my coffee in the morning, so that's important. Water's a big part of coffee. And then I usually do not cook for lunch, so that's mostly snacking. And then in the evening, it's usually some sort of dehydrated meal, which I always wish was better, but it gets the job done.
For the people who are wondering about the safety of water to drink out in the wild, what's the general view about that?
I always filter. There are plenty of places where I would feel fairly comfortable not filtering, where the water comes right out of the ground. But honestly, the risk just isn't worth it to me. It can really lay you up. I've hiked with people who've gotten Giardia before. It's not a pretty sight, and it's not very fun for them.
All right. Are they busy? They're having a little trouble holding things in?
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
All righty. I wanted to ask about steepness. We talked about it briefly before, that it can be different depending on the direction you're going, obviously. You describe a thigh-busting climb out of Matterhorn Canyon. I assume that was heading generally north on the trail?
Yes, yeah. The north end of Yosemite has some very steeply graded climbs. And I actually remember that from my thru-hike. And by that point, you know, you're in pretty good shape. And then you hit these climbs where you're literally just, you know, giant steps up boulders and roots and everything. And the PCT is, for the most part, extremely well graded. So it's a little bit surprising in that area.
But there are some alternate hikes you show in here, too. Is the PCT, is PCT generally of the alternate or one or the other? Is it the easier route?
Generally, an alternate would enhance your experience in some way. So, like around Crater Lake, mm-hmm. the alternate goes up on the rim of the lake. Ah. And obviously that's in Oregon, not Northern California, but that's just a really good example of an alternate. The other options might be that an alternate provides easy access to a town for a resupply, mm-hmm. easy access to water where there wouldn't otherwise be water.
Is it fairly easy in places to lose the trail?
Not in my experience.
Okay.
The only time that gets a little trickier is if there's fresh snow or something like that on the ground where the trail can be obscured and you might wander off the other way.
Philip Kramer, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He is the author of the guidebook, Hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, Northern California, section hiking from Tuolumne Meadows to Donnamore Pass. This complements books for the Washington and Oregon and Southern California sections of the trail from Mountaineers Books. He'll be at Northtown Books in Arcata tonight at 7 talking about it, but he's here now, and you can join us at 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. I want to ask about some of the places in here because they're just, I mean, we only have a few minutes left to be able to talk about hundreds of miles of trail here, but Lake Aloha near Tahoe appears on several pages. This sounds like a real hiking mecca.
It's a beautiful spot, and it's interesting. It's actually a reservoir, so if you go to the outlet end, you'll see this little tiny wall that's obviously man-made. But this lake is just kind of a big, sprawling body of water below the Crystal Range. It's, you know, a lot of stunted pines and granite. It's a very stunning spot. Sunrises there are worth getting up for.
Wow. It looks like you avoided the crowds near Lake Tahoe itself, but you do mention hiking a little off the trail into Sierra City, California.
Yeah.
What's there?
Sierra City is just that's one of my favorite towns, and I'm actually later on this book tour, I'm going to go out of my way just to drive up and say hi to some friends there. It's just kind of a quirky little mountain town with a lot of gold mining history and very, very friendly people. It's not far off the trail. It's got a great restaurant. You can get a giant hamburger, you know.
All the things you want when you're hiking.
Yeah,
burning a lot of calories.
Exactly.
Right?
The basic needs.
Uh-huh. How many calories do you have to consume when you're out there hiking on the trail?
You know, if it's a longer hike, I think on my thru hike, I was probably up around 5,000 calories a day at the peak of it going through the Sierra. That's my guess.
Wow. That's you know, 2.5 times what the U.S.
Yep.
RDA is considered. Yeah.
Yep. And
that's daily allowance.
Losing a little weight probably too, mm-hmm. with that. But on a shorter hike, when I'm going out for a week, you know, your body doesn't really hit that point. So I'm still pretty much just eating 2,000 to 3,000 calories a day.
Let's talk about some of the other highlights along the way. Terminal Geyser, where is that?
Terminal Geyser is in Lassen Volcanic National Park, and it's on the southern side, very near where the PCT enters the park. It's a very short little jaunt off the PCT, and you really can't miss it. You'll hear it. It's a fumarole, so it's venting steam out into the air, and it's actually pretty impressive.
Is it a consistent sort of panting?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, as you get closer, you'll either think there's a large creature panting in the forest, or you'll know where you're headed, and you'll see the fumarole.
So there are some of these pictures just frame things so well. Your shot of Subway Cave is from inside looking out. Where
yeah.
is Subway Cave? What a fascinating place.
Yeah, Subway Cave is just outside a little town called Old Station, and it's another little short side trip from the PCT. I think it's something like 0.2 miles or something. It's very easy, and it's a big subterranean lava tube, big enough to hold a subway, hence the name. On a hot day, it's a lovely place to hang out. A little dark, but very cool.
So how did some of the hottest days you have on the trail, on either the through hikes or these short day hikes, get to?
Yeah, we got up to about 104, and unfortunately it was on a day with a big climb out of Belden, California, and it was we waited until about 6 p.m., I think, to start, and even then we were just sweating.
Yeah, it was a... how about wildlife? Did you see much along the way? Do you see much in any of the times you spent on the trail?
If you want to see wildlife, I always recommend going in the shoulder season, so either early or late. In the middle of summer, you still will see some, but there's enough hikers that the wildlife are going to stay away from the trail. No.
There's a picture that you shot of the campsite that you had above Castle Crags, just outside of Dunsmuir. And I know it's a time exposure, but oh my goodness, is that an amazing picture?
Yeah, you're talking about the
sky,
night shot.
Yes, is the sky that amazing?
It really is. The Klamath Range is you know, there's not a lot of light pollution, so you go out there and that night sky it's stunning. Yep, you can just stare at it all night long and maybe not get any sleep, but it's pretty magical.
We had an author on a couple of years ago talking about the desire to darken things down so that we can see the sky again. He described being out in the desert, I think in Saudi Arabia, where it looked like it was snowing out there because the stars were so thick. Did you ever have that experience?
I can't ever say I felt like it was snowing, but I do. There have been places where you've looked up and you've just been blown away by the number of stars compared to what you're used to wherever you live.
All right, time for one final question about a place that you saw, which is Man-Eaten Lake. I love that name. Where is that?
That's in the Marble Mountain Wilderness, and it's one of the few sort of bright blue, crystal clear alpine lakes in that area, and it's a steep trek off the PCT to get down there, but it's short, and it's a great spot for a beautiful swim.
How cold is the water, even in the hot season?
It's chilly. Like this? Yep, it's chilly, but refreshing.
Okay. All kinds of different combinations of distance that you can come up with as you use Philip Kramer's book, Hiking the Pacific Crest Trail. He covers Northern California, section hiking from Tuolumne Meadows to Donnamore Pass. He'll be at Northtown Books in Arcata tonight at 7, and he's been here on the Jefferson Exchange with us. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.